Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
And joining us in the first part of the show today is Phil Bondurant. He is the Environmental Health Director with the Summit County Health Department and is here to talk with us about the algae bloom on Rockport Reservoir. Phil, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with kind of how this algae bloom was discovered and go from there. How long has this been in place?
The first notification that we got from DEQ was last Wednesday. They had been up sampling Rockport for E. coli, which is something they do on a regular basis, on a monthly basis, just with our recreational bodies of water to make sure they're meeting that threshold. And the individual that was sampling had noticed somewhat of a suspicious algal mat that was occurring there at the main marina in Rockport. As part of that process, they take algae samples as well. And so that's what really triggered this response, was that sample that they had taken on Wednesday. We got notification Wednesday night that the quick tests came back high for anatoxins. And so that's really what set the ball rolling.
And so give us a summary of kind of why these blooms are an issue. I think, you know, we're all pretty used to seeing algae around on our lakes and ponds, but why are these harmful algal blooms, or I guess cyanobacteria blooms, so concerning?
Yeah, most people associate harmful algal blooms with the sad situation that happened down at Utah Lake a few years back with the individual's dog that had drinking some of the water that was contaminated, and it actually ended up taking the animal's or the dog's life. And so that's our first and foremost concern with these harmful algal blooms, is that we don't want people to increase their exposure by not having the education and the awareness that they need. And that's really the biggest concern that we have with this bacteria, is that, you know, it's a naturally occurring thing. There's nothing that Rockport has done different this year or last than they've done the previous 50 years. It's just now we're aware of them. We're looking for these harmful algal blooms because we want to make sure that the public, the visitors to Summit County, our guests, their animals that they bring with them, and our livestock are all safe in and around these areas. And so, you know, a lot of times the way it's portrayed is that the harmful algal bloom is this thick algal mat that covers the entire lake, and it's toxic and it's unsafe. But in fact, with our situation in Rockport, it's just the opposite. We have a small algal bloom that seems to migrate through and around Rockport based on the thermals, wind direction, how much water they're taking out of the reservoir and putting downstream. And so we have this small isolated pocket of harmful algae that finds its way over into the marina in the evenings due to the winds, and then disperses in the evening and kind of makes its way back out into the body of the reservoir. So we don't want to cause undue alarm, and that's why we've gone with a caution rather than a warning or a danger, is because we don't want this to limit anybody's recreational activities. We don't want it to limit anything that DNR, or Department of Natural Resources, or State Parks has to offer our visitors. But in the same sense, we want to educate them and let them know that if you see these harmful algal blooms, or you see some pond scum or something that looks a bit out of the ordinary, just go, you know, avoid it, go to a different part of the lake and move on, and still enjoy your time here in Summit County.
So I can go swim in Rockport Reservoir, but maybe not necessarily swim within the bloom.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we tried to get across last week with our messaging, both in the press release and the notices that are being handed out and posted at Rockport, is that most people don't want to swim in the scum or the algae anyways.
Right.
But if you're out on the lake in a boat, or you have your dogs, kids, yourself on the shoreline, and you see that algae floating in the water or something that looks suspicious beyond what's normally there, just avoid it. Go down the bank a few hundred feet, 100 yards, and recreate somewhere else. Just let it be and leave it to itself. You know, we found with our follow-up sampling that occurred on Thursday morning that, in fact, that the samples from the previous night or in comparison to samples from the previous night, that the levels were not harmful at all in the marina. And so what we're finding is it's dissipating and then joining back up and then dissipating. And so really there's nothing that we can do aside from educate the public on what a harmful algal bloom is, because we can't, there's no way to continually track it around the lake. We've asked the park rangers at Rockport to report anything they see or that they hear from the general people out on the lake to us so that we can kind of keep tabs on it. But again, we haven't had any reports come in of people that have seen it. So we just want to make sure that we're proactive and that the general population has the exact same information that we have.
All right. So then along those same lines, if, you know, swimming is not prohibitive, but you've got to be prudent about where you swim. Does the same thing go, say, with fishing or boating or stand-up paddle boarding, et cetera? Just kind of don't fish within the bloom or so, or don't stand up paddleboard. Avoid it as best possible.
Yeah, Chris, that's exactly right. You know, just avoid it. It doesn't, you can still fish in Rockport. If you catch fish, they're still edible.
Good, okay.
You know, the advisory that we put out says to clean them well with fresh water.
Huh.
You know, obviously don't eat the internal organs. Go ahead and just eat the fillets as you normally would with a fish. But typically a harmful algal bloom doesn't affect the fish population too much, and it does, the toxins accumulate in the fatty tissues in the organs. So as long as you're not eating that, those products, you should be fine fishing. And DNR has confirmed that, as well as the state parks.
One thing that I've read is that these, I guess, harmful algal blooms can cause, like, skin irritation or, like, upper respiratory irritation. Is that something we should keep an eye out for, or is this probably too small at this point?
Yeah, that's definitely, with the anatoxin A, which is the one that we're really concerned about, that's the one that is the neurotoxin that can really cause some distress among people. Mm. But, again, it's important to keep it in context in that it's in very high levels. The levels that we found both in the initial sampling from the Department of Environmental Quality and what we have, or what we found the following day, those levels wouldn't result in that. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not a possibility and that it could happen, and that's our main focus, is to keep that from happening. But I think that we're not to that point yet in Rockport to where we're concerned about that. We're mainly just trying to keep tabs on it and see what this bloom is going to do throughout the rest of the summer.
And so if my dog swims in it accidentally or otherwise, obviously I should wash my pup off as quickly as possible.
Correct. Yeah. And at all costs, you should avoid having your pet, obviously your children and yourself, drink any of the lake water, not only because of the algae and the different toxins and bacteria that are in there, but just because lake water in general poses a risk for E. coli and other types of...
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just in general, good advice.
Just don't drink lake water in general. That's good advice.
So I also wanted to ask about kind of putting, I guess, to put this bloom that's in Rockport in context within the rest of the state. We've been hearing about these harmful algal blooms for a few years now. How does the rest of the state look this spring and summer?
Yeah, we have, in the state of Utah right now, we have three active blooms that are being reported. One in Mantua Reservoir up in Box Elder County, Utah Lake, and then the one in Rockport. And it's interesting, Nell, that you see this time of year, it's the same bodies of water that are consistently being reported. It appears, unfortunately, to be happening earlier and earlier in the season.
Mm.
But there's a number of different articles and papers that are written that are predicting why this is happening earlier, or what caused them to happen earlier. But it's important to put this into perspective in that the Midwest and the Northeast have been dealing with harmful algal blooms for centuries. It just so happens that here in the West, we've started looking for them. When you go looking for things, typically you find them. Unfortunately, when you find them, if you don't have your response set up or an idea of how you're going to respond to these, they tend to create some undue stress. And so throughout the United States, municipalities deal with harmful algal blooms, and they have a very strong and effective method in doing so. And we're just, this being our third or fourth season in the state of Utah where we're dealing with these, we're just getting to that point where we have a very effective, responsible response. And I think that was seen this year with Rockport. Within a matter of minutes of when we had received the notification, we had already had notification out to each of our individual partners in the county, outside of the county, those that would have a vested interest in the outcome of this situation. And so Utah Lake, I know my counterpart there in Utah County and my counterpart up in the Bear River Health Department, they're all very aware, and the processes have been set in place. We've actually been working on this process throughout the off season, all through the winter, early spring, knowing that this was going to come. And so the fact that it came early is a bit of a surprise, but we didn't think we'd be able to get through the entire season without having some type of action that needed to be taken on Rockport. So we're happy that at this point that we've been able to contact all of our partners, that we've worked well with DEQ and getting them on board. I've been emailing back and forth with their contacts all morning and about follow-up sampling that's going to occur this week and setting that up to make sure that we stay on top of it on a weekly basis. And, as the summer progresses, we'll keep our thumbs on it and hopefully keep our fingers crossed that we don't have any more that we have to deal with.
So what are some of the background conditions that kind of maybe predispose a lake or a reservoir to getting one of these harmful algal blooms?
Yeah, there's a number of varying opinions, and of course I have my own, but sure. If you talk with any of the locals that have fished Rockport or that have spent a considerable amount of time on Rockport, they would report that the conditions of the lake, this was happening on an annual basis far before we were even looking for them. And I tend to believe the local knowledge is very powerful, and that the locals generally, they know what they're talking about. Generally, they spend more time on the lake than anybody else, from a regulatory standpoint. But for Rockport, it's interesting because of all the livestock in the area, some of the non-point source contributions that are made that increase the nutrient load within the reservoir. Right now they're pulling a lot of water out of Rockport, and unfortunately the way that our older reservoirs and dams are constructed is they pull the water off the bottom, which is the cold water, which can kind of limit or keep the harmful algal bloom at bay because they flourish in sunlight and warmer water. So when you pull that warm water off the bottom, or excuse me, the cold water off the bottom, it allows the warm water to go down. And then, of course, the sun, we've had some nice hot days. The sun heats up the top layer of water that's coming in. And with that bottom water coming off, you stirred up some of the nutrients and possible cells that were in the soil. And so you have this compounding effect of lots of sunlight, temperature, water temperature increase, wind, and so all these different factors contribute to the algae content in the lake. And so that's, there's a lot of scientific reasoning and beliefs that go into it. But for us, I think it's as simple as this is something that has been in Rockport for a very long time. And now we're just starting to see it because we're looking for it. And so we're going to keep tabs on it and make sure that the people that are recreating there at Rockport are safe, and DNR and them, that their interests are being met as well.
We're speaking with Phil Bondurant. He's Environmental Health Director with Summit County. We're talking about algal bloom that has occurred recently at Rockport Reservoir. And Phil, you're just talking about the sources of that and why it's occurred. And just to be clear, when you say nutrient loading from, say, livestock, you're talking about nitrogen and phosphorus that's being released into the lake or the reservoir at higher than normal levels, which algae require to bloom and proliferate.
Right, yeah, and Chris, and I don't know that it's higher than normal. I think it's just the fact that it's an agricultural community, and we have practices such as flood irrigation, livestock grazing, and different types of fertilization activities that occur that eventually accumulate into the tributaries that essentially feed Rockport. And so we definitely don't want to make it sound as though this is occurring intentionally. I think it's one of those things that it's a practice that's been going on for decades with our farming community and our agricultural community. And it's just now we're starting to see the effects of it. And, you know, given the situation in Rockport, it's actually the fact that we have a bloom is not surprising, but the size of the bloom is what's really interesting in that it's, you would think that if it was something that was above average, that we would see a much greater, a more intense harmful algal bloom. But again, it mirrors exactly what we saw last year in a very isolated pocket that migrates around the lake and really doesn't pose any harm or threat to anybody unless they're actually inside that small pocket of bloom.
Okay. But it is interesting that this process of pulling the cold water from the deeper part of the lake, that's an interesting element that, like you say, allows the warmer surface water to mix deeper down and creates a warmer body of water at large, which, again, algae prefer.
Yeah, correct. And I think that obviously our predecessors who built these dams and these reservoirs for both water retention purposes and recreation purposes, obviously the harmful algal blooms were not something that they were dealing with at that time. And the engineering that went into these, it made the most sense to pull the water out of the bottom because if it was low, you still had the ability to pull water and put water downstream as needed.
Right.
As looking at it now, there's not much that we can do to change that. So we're left to manage these situations as they come about to ensure that we can do what we can to protect public health.
Do you generally anticipate that these harmful algal blooms will show up in the same reservoirs each year? Essentially, like once you've got one, does it kind of stick around or is it just, you know, the conditions are there? Do you anticipate seeing them in the same places?
Yeah, I think that this is one of those things that that we're going to be dealing with for many years to come now. Those individuals that frequent Rockport would say that they've been seeing this type of bloom for 10, 20, 30 years. So it's been occurring for a very long time. I don't think it's going away. You know, there's not, we can't put any type of algicide in the lake to kill it off. And so I think that we'll deal with it throughout the summer, keep an eye on it. It'll go dormant again in the winter when the lake freezes over. And then, you know, in the spring, depending on what type of spring we have, how much moisture we get, the water that we have in the lake and the condition of that water, I think that we'll probably see it again next year. And so we're moving away from the idea that this harmful algal bloom is something that creates widespread panic to more of a common knowledge approach that if you see this, avoid it, and then we'll continue to monitor throughout the summer to make sure that we know the exact condition of the bloom, the size. If need be, we have drones that we can use that if it appears to be growing, that we can put up above the lake and begin to take overhead pictures to actually gauge the size of the bloom and see where it's at. But if everything stays as it is now, I would suspect that the bloom is going to act exactly as it did last year. It will show itself on occasion, and then it will dissipate. And present very minimal risk to both the recreators and the quality of the lake.
Is it possible to transport this type of algae from one body of water to another? I'm thinking in terms of, say, mussel, quagga, zebra mussel transport, or do the algae not survive a trip like that?
Yeah, there's some research that shows that the potential for that is actually pretty slim. Once that algae gets out of the, if somebody does their due diligence and drains their boat, does that thing, the algae doesn't really stick around too long. Now there is evidence that it can be transported as we let water downstream.
Right.
So as we talked about just a second ago, you let water out of the bottom. You know, that's what we saw with Utah Lake and then into the Jordan River 2 years ago between Utah County and Salt Lake County is that that harmful algal bloom was actually creeping its way north just through normal means of water distribution and harmful algal growth. So, yeah, it can be transported, but I don't know that, you know, through a man-made transport other than canals and that sort of thing. I don't think the boats and that other type of equipment is something that we really would be concerned about at this point.
Well, Phil, we are about to wrap up. We're about out of time. Is there any, like, specific resource or anything else that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, the Department of Environmental Quality for Utah has a great webpage on harmful algal blooms. We work hand-in-hand with them to update that, keep them up to speed so they have the most recent information.
Okay.
Of course, you can always call the health department. The staff there is well-versed in harmful algal blooms and knows what's going on. And then if you have further questions that they may not be able to answer, we can either put you in touch with somebody at DEQ, or I'm more than happy to speak with anybody regarding questions that they have. You can call us at 435-333-1511, and we'll be more than happy to chat with you.
Well, Phil, thank you so much for joining us this morning and making the time on your trip to call in and fill us in on the algae bloom.
No problem, Dylan. Chris, I appreciate the opportunity.
That was Phil Bondurant, the Environmental Health Director here in Summit County, Utah.
All right, let's take a break for a couple underwriters. When we come back, we're speaking with Brian McInerney with the National Weather Service. He'll give us a little summary of how our spring unfolded and some update on our reservoir, the status of our reservoirs. We'll continue that conversation, our watersheds, and also some interesting thing about fires. Fire scars, and potential mud flows.
And, yeah, some of those impacts of fires years down the road.